Action Park Media.
Let's get a mic check here. 1, 2, 1, 2, episode 54. No gruffs given. It's okay to lose to opponent. Must not lose to fear. Mr. Miyagi, Karate Kid. It's okay to lose to opponent. Must not lose to fear. Now, I open with that quote because I was just doing some thinking. All right. And it just so happened when I came into the studio, Kevin and Doug were recording the Victory podcast, and Doug came into my mind because this past weekend I did my second jiu-jitsu competition. They call it NAGA, which is National Association Grapplers Association, something along those lines. There's a great video of the legendary Khabib competing at NAGA. I think it's 2012 if you want to look it up. It was great. All right. This time around, I felt much more comfortable. I knew the understanding of you walk in, you got to get your, you got to check in. Their check-in was much easier. You had a barcode that was sent to you. You scan your name, you weigh in, and then you get at it. Now, what I did this time was I went down to the younger age group, which they call masters. So I believe masters is like, I don't know, maybe it's 29 to 40 or something, or maybe it's even younger. I'm not sure, but it's younger than what I had previously gone in at, which was my age group. Now when I weighed in, when I signed up online, I assumed that I was going to be a heavyweight because if you're a heavyweight, you are, 200 and up. 200 to 225 is considered heavyweight in the jiu-jitsu world. But I weighed in at 196.
Nice.
Yeah. I was very excited about that.
Were you surprised?
I was. I thought, you know, I didn't really have any expectations because it didn't matter. I was like, I'm not going to be heavier than 225. I know that. So I'm all good. I didn't want to stress about it. At that moment, I was sort of given the opportunity whether or not I wanted to drop down to the next lower weight class. And I asked, because now I know the process, I said, how many competitors are signed up for that weight class? It was the same amount. And I said to myself, you know what? I came into this one, I wanted stiffer competition, so I went down a little bit younger. I think going against somebody with a higher weight is essentially, you're at a disadvantage. Now, I actually don't really possibly believe that now, because lighter, faster, stronger, I think always wins. So I chose to stay in the heavyweight. We had a great group, and this is what I was going to talk about. I was going to draw the parallels between pickleball, which a lot of people are playing pickleball, and we have this resurgence of sort of adult competition, very unique in two different sports. Now, jiu-jitsu has always had it, but I think obviously it's coming to the forefront and there's a lot more competitors than there were 10 years ago. Pickleball is brand new. It's exploded. There's a lot of hockey players that have now retired and started to play pickleball instead of golf. I think that there's just something about the competitive juices of being able to play head-to-head against somebody versus golf doesn't really have that. It sort of doesn't lend itself to it. Chris Draper, I know Horkoff, there's a whole group in Detroit. Guys are playing all over. But I said to Doug, and I prefaced it by saying, and it's ridiculous, okay? I understand how ridiculous it is for adults to go and sign up and do competition against other adults. Now, am I wrong by saying that? Because my mentality is, well, you play sports when you're young because you do it, you want to achieve, maybe you want to be a professional, or it's okay to do it. It's okay to do it at any point in time. I'm convinced of it now. Not only that, seeing whole families competing, like mom, dad, daughter, son, all in a competition on a Saturday together, it's kind of incredible to see it. Not only that, just seeing moms competing and husbands with kids there to support mom, or vice versa, dads and moms there with the kids. It's really incredible. Like, and I'm just, you know, today I sit here and I guess Trump's going to get arrested tomorrow. We've got the Biden crime family just running loose. I mean, they are on the loose. I saw this. Let me just recite this. This is an interesting little piece of statistical information. So a Chinese energy company sends $3 million to a Biden family business associate 2 months after Joe leaves office as VP. And then Hallie Biden, Bo Biden's widow and ex-girlfriend of Hunter, mysteriously starts receiving incremental payments. I mean, there's a list of this money now. So it's just interesting, the parallels, right? Like, say what you will about Trump, but Trump's family, pretty fucking buttoned up and responsible. All the kids work. All the kids have kids. He's got a growing, brooding, strong family. They're all a tight-knit group that looks after each other. Now, you might say the same thing about the Bidens, but yeah, I mean, listen, there's one thing. I'm all for capitalism. Each family should be as strong and as wealthy and as powerful as you can possibly be. Build a dynasty. That's part of that. That's great for the future of your family and our country. But to do it in a way where, and you could argue again that while Trump made his millions off the backs of honest people. Well, Trump put a lot of people to work. Let's just start right there. Okay. I bet you have an uncle or an aunt or a cousin or somebody that has worked for former President Trump, built buildings. All right. What the fuck has the Biden family done for the people of America? How many people have they put to work? Now, I take the position here that if the Chinese government or the Chinese energy company, just like Burisma in Ukraine, paid Hunter Biden and then Hunter Biden siphons off money, let's just rewind. What did he get the job for? Well, he got the job, it seems like at this point, it was influence peddling, right? I'm also all for that, but not when your old man comes back and now he's the president of the United States. Like, you got to cut ties at a certain point and say, all right, this is the direction we're going in. We're not going to come back and actually take legitimate seats in office, not to mention the highest fucking seat in the entire world.
I don't know what we would expect with the Bidens. You know, the state of Delaware has more registered corporations than citizens in their state. Right. So like, who are these folks? They're, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of that state that has been built on, it was like, how can we get as close to Washington without being Washington? And this is where we're going to do all this so we can really be close to the finagling and the shady shit that goes on. But it just, so what I was saying about Doug and pickleball, and I prefaced it by saying, it's crazy. It's crazy that I'm an adult who, by the way, you know, has a history of competition at the highest level in the best possible league in my sport, right? So it's just a wild, it's really wild. I got to tell you, I did no gi this time. You know, the gi is the thing, it's like the karate gi. You see everybody in the white gis, like Karate Kid. I'm not down with the gi. And I've explained this earlier because I just, natural athleticism lends to no gi much better. Like you can get better quickly with no gi. Gi, it's all about these you know, your grips and it's a different sport to me. It really seems like a different sport.
The gi kind of plays as a weapon. You can use it with those hands,
exactly.
And those wrists.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous a little bit too.
Yeah, you get choked out by it. Professor Makoto, my professor, that's the other thing. My professor He competed this weekend. So it's this real, like everybody, we're helping each other warm up. And it's much different in the sense of being a professional athlete. Although you are in a team environment, you really, as much as you do a lot of things together, like the warm up process, you're all sort of on your own island because you have staff, right? Guys go from one trainer to the next trainer. You're doing it really, except for the soccer game, which I'm sure Michael loves. You love those soccer clips, right? Yeah. NHL players warming up with the soccer ball. The great Shane O'Brien said he wished that he had done more in his pregame warm-ups other than pour a coffee and wait till the soccer game started. So it's kind of like, that's what an OG says. This time it was in Pomona at the fairgrounds, which when I got there, I realized that's where we filmed, where I filmed my part in Amsterdam. Pomona is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Pomona's got a vibe down there. The fairgrounds and you been there, Dave?
Yeah, I've been to the Claremont Colleges, that whole area. It's really, really cool.
Beautiful.
Been a few parties.
Beautiful Pomona. I love it. It's got a real, yeah, it was just great. And, you know.
Snoop Dogg's hometown is there. He's got a big house.
I didn't know that. Snoop D-O-double-G. It seems like anyone could live there. Like, it's very cool. It's got a vibe.
Can I ask you about Nash got a stripe on his belt?
Nash got a stripe on his belt.
He looked super pumped.
It's this, like, identifying marker. It's so interesting. What it does is it tells you, trust the process, you know?
Get rewarded for the work.
Yeah. It's
like
okay.
A star.
It's okay to lose to opponent, but you must not lose to fear. You get what you put into it. He did get a star on it also.
Cool.
It's very fun. It's very fun.
In the same way that you were just talking about it, it's you guys are doing that together, and he probably very much enjoys doing that just as much as you do with him.
I'm afraid to take him to a competition because I don't want him to get that hooked on it. Mm-hmm. Like I would rather jiu-jitsu for him. I would rather it be sort of like his therapy, right? I'm not going to ever try and say, no, don't, like, it's like, I learned from my dad. If your kid likes something, you just point him in that direction and you walk beside him or behind him and let him or her go. I would like jiu-jitsu to be a thing because these competitions, listen, you get fucked up. I mean, there's killers, headhunters in there. Black belts.
The clips that I saw of your performance, I felt like you looked a lot better.
You
got a hook in, you got the guy's back. He tries to, you know, you scramble and you do a standing choke. I mean, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, standing guillotine. Yes, I felt like a completely different person. I felt dangerous, you know. But I'm putting the work in, and if you put the work in, you learn. You understand. And then if you have competitive juices, what a great outlet. What a great outlet for anyone, big or small. Yellow, purple, black, white, whatever, wherever you're from, whatever age you are, it's really nice. It feels very good. Like you feel like you've accomplished something. Which again, I'll come back to the golf thing. It feels much different than golf because golf you can play and just play. And there's also the underground world, like, and I'm getting ragged all, you know, a lot of the trolls are out on Instagram talking about how I started the match in one of my matches where
I saw this.
I just gave him the quick slap.
I saw it.
And I was like, let's go.
And you went right in.
I went right in. Yeah. And now what you didn't see was we had shook hands prior to the ref saying fight, mm-hmm. right? Now in UFC, sometimes they tap gloves. It's not a prerequisite.
Right.
All right. Now Makoto, my trainer, my professor, who's a black belt, a young Brazilian killer. Listen, he says to me, it's a fight. Let's go.
Right.
Like
you have to be ready.
You got to be ready no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I laughed though. That was the first clip I saw and I'm like, he jumped the handshake.
And by the way, I didn't even know that I did it until afterwards when I saw the video.
Your adrenaline was pumping.
Yeah,
you were
the
ready
instinct.
To get it going.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That's amazing.
And you know what? We're going to fucking hug each other at the end of this match, regardless of who wins. So I'm fine with that.
Totally.
I didn't think it was, but the jiu-jitsu community has this very underground, like the old school. Uh-huh. Like then there's also there's new jiu-jitsu, which is also no-gi. They just have those old school things, right? That are kind of hurting the sport a little bit, but I also think they're just getting kind of blown out of the water with progression and what people want. Yeah, so that, and I do have cauliflower ear now, and it fucking sucks. Like, I'm at the point where it's a decision. It's actually a decision. Do I stop doing jiu-jitsu, or do I get cauliflower ear? Because there's no in-between on this, right? I'm not in this for participation medals. Like, I'm planning on going, we're going to Jiu-Jitsu Con in Las Vegas at the end of August, and I want to win the championship, you know? Now, again, I'm going against white belts. Should I be a blue belt right now? Could I be? Yeah, I'll smoke blue belts on the mat. I got no problem saying that. But you know what? This is a process. And Makoto, my half Japanese Brazilian killer, he tells me when I get the fucking thing. And in the meantime, I just wait and I put the time in and I compete. So the cauliflower ear, I guess it's going to happen. It sucks though. I don't know the science behind it. I've looked online. You can buy magnets that sort of pull it out of your ear. There's all sorts of crazy shit. If you wrestle, if you grapple, I think you get it. If you really do it. And there's also another thing about this whole world. There's guys that compete and there's guys that don't compete. So now I feel confident to say, like, I'm competing, all right? If you don't compete, bro, you probably, I mean, the flow rolls are rolling. You're flowing, which I'm cool for on a rest day, but we're not flowing. We're not flowing. So I say to everyone out there, try it. Seriously, it's okay to lose to the opponent, but you must not lose to fear. And we got to keep pushing ourselves because I'm seeing the lingering effects of this fucking 2 years of criminal behavior that we are still as humans, as Americans, as Canadians, kids, middle-aged, doesn't matter. Look at the statistics. People are suffering. We had a jolt to the system. It was like our own little weird big bang. Now we're seeing the truth come to the forefront. Who's your bank, Michael?
JP Morgan Chase.
So you're okay.
You're not
considering moving banks?
I am considering moving banks. I think I'd keep my National Bank for the convenience of it. But I would like to start running my money through a credit union.
A credit union.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's more protections there?
No, because they are more likely to give me a personal loan.
Okay.
Because the amount of money that I have cycling through my account every year. If I needed a 10K
advance
to go, you know, get a car or go do something, that they'd be more likely to do that than, I mean, Chase is giving me nothing.
But you're not doing it because you're concerned about, because all these banks are just like crumbling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about the banks crumbling as much as I'm worried about the associations that those banks have with nefarious political, you know.
I see. Our next partner has a product I use almost every day, AG1. AG1 is the best option for easy, optimal nutrition out there. You take one scoop of AG1 and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Look good, feel good. How do we get through the day? Firing on all cylinders. This blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All of these things we need to win at life. You're going to go to agathleticgreens.com. Let me just tell you that one more time, because we want to make it easy for you. Athletic Greens is going to give you one free supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. I now make the travel packs on my own. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/nogruffs. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/nogruffs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
I think there was a lot of connection with J.P. Morgan Chase and the Epstein scenario.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just interesting.
It just makes me feel good about it.
Yeah, Trump's going to get arrested. Has anyone got arrested from the whole Epstein situation other than
Ghislaine?
Ghislaine and Jeffrey?
And you know what's weird? I don't think so.
Right. And then this was New York. This was Alvin Bragg. He's the big bad DA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's going to go to jail? Like, I don't know who's going to jail.
Well,
no
how many
one.
Times are you
going
to arrest the former president and have it not stick?
I mean, it's just,
it's pretty obnoxious. And, you know, it comes back to where,
if you're going to arrest Trump, arrest Biden.
Well, and then so then we're in this never-ending cycle of, like, we're going to be doing this to our leaders all the time. And not whether it's...
Well, we can't keep our eye on the ball.
They're just... They're weaponizing the legal system in a way to discredit people instead of, trying to, find justice.
I was going to go into this... I'm not going to go into it, but what I want to tell you is, first of all, somebody just introduced me to this podcast called The High Wire, which it's a guy by the name of Del Bigtree. I had no idea who this guy was. I had never heard the podcast. I've listened to three of them. He did one with Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider is a fucking freedom fighter, dude.
He's gone all
this
the
guy
way out.
Is just in it, man. And
him and Jamie Kennedy should go on tour together.
They should. They really should. They should put together a freedom fighters tour but Rob Schneider, I just got goosebumps. Listen to the podcast he does. It's called The High Wire, or he did with this guy, Del Bigtree. What a name. Del Bigtree? Fucking, could you get a better name, bro? No. Anyways, they then, I listened to New California Bill seeks to mandate dangerous HPV. So this HPV shot, now I came up, my generation, I'm talking 1996 to basically 2002, HPV was running very prevalent among anybody from the age of 16 to like 25.
Yep.
My friends, I know a lot of people that had it. It's very dangerous to women. It's serious. Here's the caveat, okay? You can only get it essentially through intravenous drug use or sexual contact. It's on the schedule for, this is one of the additional vaccines that they give toddlers, right? There's a lot of research that it's given to them way too early, that it's too strong, that there's also things that are in it that are not good at any age. But I can sit here and say, you know what? I remember being in the heat of that thing, and it was an epidemic. Like people were, and I'm sure that there were girls that suffered from it later on that we don't even know about, but it was a big deal. So listen, if this vaccine works for HPV, human papilloma virus, great. But California, why are they pushing forward rules and mandates to start giving this to toddlers? You know, so this is another great, just listen to this podcast, listen to this episode, because it's really just fantastic. It's fantastic. I had the other, I wanted to read this, this quote. It just got me thinking, to a certain extent of like, your personal style, right, is an interesting thing. It sort of mirrors your expression of where you're at in life, right? If you're in a rut, I feel like your personal style is in a rut. Now, you can just work too much and it not be a certain focus, but I think it just represents a lot of things. And this was really interesting because TikTok and what TikTok and Instagram are doing to our young girls in particular. It's Alexander McQueen. He says, I design clothes because I don't want women to look all innocent and naive. I want women to look stronger. I don't like women to be taken advantage of. I don't like men whistling at women in the street. I think they deserve more respect. I like men to keep their distance from women. I like men to be stunned by an entrance. I've seen a woman get nearly beaten to death by her husband. I know what misogyny is. I want people to be afraid of the women I dress. That's like a pre-cancel culture statement from somebody being honest. And it really does make sense. And I agree. Like, seeing these little girls do jiu-jitsu at these competitions, and our women, we want our women strong.
Absolutely.
I think we want our men just as strong, or sometimes, I don't want to say stronger, but a different type of strength.
Just masculine.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a word. It's like, I remember when, the word about being cool with like putting on creams, what was that called? I can't even remember it now. Everybody used it. It was the early word where you were talking about, you're not gay, but you're in touch with your
metrosexual.
Yeah. Nice pull. Metrosexual. That was a word that was a word.
Yeah.
You don't hear it anymore, do you?
No.
Now, maybe because we don't even know what is metrosexual. Could I be identified? Could that be my? Could you say, no, you know what? I'm a trans metrosexual. That's a show title. I'm a trans metrosexual, right?
Yeah. I mean,
could be.
In your heyday and your time spent at Vogue and your style choices and all of those things, I mean,
I was a metrosexual.
There was nobody more metrosexual than you were.
And I remember thinking, I'm not offended by that. I'm not offended by that.
Right.
You don't need to call me that, but if you do, I'm cool with it. All these labels, bro. These labels. I don't even know why I was talking about that. What was I talking about?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. Did you see the UFC cold open?
So this is the first fight I have not bought.
Wow.
And it really came down to
the
makeup of the card. I couldn't have been less interested. I sat there, I had it queued up, I'm at home, I was ready to go, and I just was like, you know what? I do not care about this card.
You know what? I feel the same way. But
it's different too when it's in the UK or it's overseas. So the time
difference. It was earlier,
and
right?
I was so like, I'm just not in the mood for this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. And then by the time you might want to have watched it,
spoiled on Instagram.
You know who wins.
And it's like decision, 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 decision. I was like, I didn't miss anything.
Well, Gaethje was a fucking dog.
He was a 3-1 dog going into the fight, or closer to 2-1 at the drop of the fight.
Underdog. Really?
So
they
had
Fiziev to win?
Yeah.
Wow. So people, it warms my heart, because to contrast it, Usman's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody that watched the fight, it's like, I remember those guys that after the lockout, they came back and they just lost that first step.
Yep.
That bounce. I got to tell you, just on a personal level, I feel very bouncy. I still feel like I got like a lot of spring. He looked like his knees are shot.
Yeah.
And Rocky put it on him pretty good.
Totally.
But the Gaethje fight was a war. And that's exciting, because now Gaethje, he gets to come back now. We got a little bit of movement there.
Mm-hmm.
Gaethje, Poirier, Chandler, Connor. Now Connor is immediately, now he's in the mix again.
Yep.
You know? So I bought the fight because of the storyline Dana continues to create for me.
Okay.
That's why I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get drawn into that on a level of, and it was the time change what did it. If it was a nighttime regular Vegas fight,
it would have been different.
You would have bought it.
I would have.
Yeah. I agree.
Also, it's just, you know, it's probably going to be like this for the next 2 months for me, but, you know, getting geared up for the tail end of the NHL season and the playoffs, like, I'm more interested in watching a day's full of Saturday hockey than I am watching a card that doesn't really jump out at me.
The game's exciting right now. I want to read the James Reimer quote.
Yeah.
Is it Reimer or Reimer?
Reimer.
Reimer. James Reimer. Been around a long time.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea that this was his faith. I didn't know how heavily involved in his faith he was. He says, in reference to, well, you'll hear, under the umbrella of the NHL's Hockey is for Everyone initiative, the San Jose Sharks have chosen to wear jerseys in support of LGBTQIA+. I didn't even know that's what it was now. I sort of joke about it sometimes. LGBTQIA+ community tonight. For all 13 years of my NHL career, I've been a Christian. Not just in title, but in how I chose to how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and in response, asked me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I have always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I am choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life. I strongly believe that every person has value and worth, and the LGBTQIA+ community, like all others, should be welcomed in all aspects of the game of hockey. James Reimer. Reimer?
Reimer. Yep.
So, again, let me just put my stake in the ground and let everybody know that I am untouchable in this conversation. I am an OG from the trenches, the early days, Cynthia Nixon, Sean Avery, driving to Albany to campaign for same-sex marriage. Now, at that point, that was between a man and a woman, right? We were still in the genre of men and women. Men could marry men and women could marry women, all right? I have no problem today, and honestly, 10 years ago, I don't even know, it just wouldn't have, you want to know why I think James Reimer would have probably wore the jersey 10 years ago? Because it wasn't so convoluted as it is today, where they're now trying to bring your kids into it, and it's a whole thing. It's a whole goddamn thing, all right? But regardless, even if he didn't want to take part 10 years ago, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it, right? I got no problem with it. And I was there fighting the fight for the other side a long time ago. Here's where it gets me real riled up. And I want you to read this.
Berkey quote.
Yeah, Brian Burke. Yeah. Okay. Brian Burke, been in the game a long time. I don't know if he's ever won, really.
Should have won in Vancouver.
Vancouver, Toronto, Berkey. He's one of those old school guys. He's not Glenn Sather.
No.
All right. I will not put Brian Burke in the Glenn Sather category. Not even close. He's on like the 18th floor and Glenn is on the fucking 98th. All right. That's where I put that comparison. In just being a G and a winner. All right. He's not there. Do I think Brian Burke is an entertaining fella? Yeah. Does he say some things that I enjoy? Do I think sometimes he says it more from a reaction standpoint to keep himself in the mix? Yeah, possibly. But Brian Burke has a gay son.
Did, and that passed away.
He passed away.
Yeah.
All right. His brother now, Brian Burke's other son, is actively or was very involved in the initiative for equality in hockey. I don't know what his title is now. I believe he might work for the NHL. Read me this quote. So this is a guy who has lost a son who was gay and came out, and I believe he was a hockey player,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has been in the game a long time, has another son who's straight who also works in the game. He's been affected by it. It's touched his family personally. I want you to read this and then I want to explain what I'm thinking.
I repeat that I'm extremely disappointed, said Burke following Reimer's protest. I wish players would understand that pride sweaters are about inclusion and welcoming everybody. A player wearing pride colors or tape isn't endorsing a set of values or enlisting a cause. He is saying that you are welcome here.
That is,
and you are.
Hold
on. Every single NHL building.
Okay. Let's take that back.
Okay.
Read it to me again.
I repeat that I am extremely disappointed. I wish players would understand that pride sweaters are about inclusion and welcoming everybody.
Right. except if you're not, if you don't believe in what they are trying to represent.
Right.
So it's for everyone, and they're all about inclusion, but
except if, your religion.
Yes. But if you don't like what we're doing,
right,
well, fuck you. We're going to burn you to a cross. You are a anti-Semite. You hate the trans community. And notice they always say, it's like the trans community has turned into the LGBTQIA plus community. It's not the gay community anymore, right? So the gay community has been hijacked by this movement. Yeah. And I know that personally because some of my longstanding gay friends, very influential people, they will say this. Yes, we understand what's happened. It's been hijacked. We feel like it's, in our opinion, it's been hijacked. This was our movement. Now I'm just asking them that. So immediately he's like, yeah, it's all good. Except if you don't like us, well, then we'll burn you to a cross. Carry on.
He is saying you are welcome here, and you are in every single NHL building. So it's like,
right. Rewind it. There was the part before that.
Okay. A player wearing pride colors or tape isn't endorsing a set of values or enlisting in a cause.
How so?
I don't know.
How does that make sense whatsoever?
And if he really believed that, then where's like, why don't you have pride like once a week in Pittsburgh? Because the fans don't want it. Sid doesn't want it.
Well, it's just like, what does it represent? I mean, what does it represent? I don't know. Is it us? Is it the game trying to actually be more inclusive? Or is this just the ultimate bullshit virtue signal that is actually rooted in hypocrisy? His whole statement is rooted in hypocrisy.
In the tone.
How, yeah, it's like he's now not accepting of other people, yet he's got to be grateful of all the people that did accept his son mm-hmm. coming out of the closet, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, this is fucking craziness.
The tone of it is like very...
it's his style.
It's snobbish, yeah. Too. It's like...
It's stupid.
Yeah,
It's bullheaded, old fucking... It's like old, dumb speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mixed with futuristic bullshit speak that we don't even understand, like LGBTQI plus community. What the fuck does that mean? Where's the metrosexual marker in there? Because I want to add a letter now. LGBTQIM plus community. I am now fucking a part of it. If you don't put that M for trans metrosexual into your alphabeture now, I'm out. You are now not being inclusive to me because I represent as a metrosexual. Now, I'll say it once, I'll say it twice. The Look Good, Feel Good program, it's an important program. But it's also okay to ask for help sometimes. Green Chef is a CCOF, Certified Meal Kit Company. Green Chef makes eating very easy, all right? With plans to fit every lifestyle, whether you're paleo, keto, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a huge range of recipes to suit your preferences. Cravings, all right, of your favorite recipe? Now you can double the portions in your weekly order with just one click. That means you like something? You can stay with it. It's healthy. You know that because it's from Green Chef. Now you can also add chicken or fish to select vegan and veggies recipes each week for added protein boost. You got to get that protein in, all right? The recipes feature premium proteins, seasonal organic produce, sustainably sourced seafood. Expand your palate with unique farm fresh ingredients like figs, dates, and artichokes. Raise your food standards in 2023 and reap the flavor benefits. With Green Chef, you're also reducing your food waste by up to 38% versus grocery shopping, which is also, it's just nice. Greenchef.com/nogruff60 and use the code NOGRUFF60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. That's all you got to do. You got to go to greenchef.com/nogruff60, use the code NOGRUFF60, and you're going to get 60% off plus free shipping. That's a pretty good start. That's a pretty good start. Almost as good of a start to the day if you have Green Chef. Keep those fires fired. You know what I mean? Keep the fire stoked. Keep that fire hot with Green Chef.
If you wanted to include everybody, why are you identifying the groups that everybody is everybody? That's not a...
Yeah.
It's not a bunch of letters.
Well, isn't it interesting that the 60s was all about love?
It's also confusing, too, when you think that what is the... Like, the Pride jersey, is it just another... revenue stream?
Wow.
Is this what they're trying
well,
to like?
Listen,
but I mean,
when you virtue signal, if you can make money while you're doing it, it's killing two birds with one stone.
They auction those
yeah,
jerseys
of
off.
Of course. It's, I just can't believe there's only been two guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that other guys haven't had sort of an awakening, regardless of what their religion is, but be like, yeah, this is a little weird.
Your guy in New York just canceled Pride Night.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, like, when's that going to kind of start to trickle?
And by the way, New York State, those Democrats in New York State are going after Mr. Dolan right now with this facial recognition. They're going to pull the tax credit, which I think DeSantis did to Disney in Florida. Like, man, oh man. You know, I would say that now, in my opinion, based on everything I've heard, Dolan is no longer a Democrat. I mean, he's a capitalist that wants fair markets, but he also understands when I own shit, I can run it the way I want to run it. I mean, you know, that's the way this country works. It was built on. You got some other interesting hockey stuff, a couple of things, right?
Yeah, we saw a list of players that are still the last players to not wear a visor.
Read it.
Zach Kassian, Milan Lucic, Ryan Reeves, Zach Bogosian, Matt Martin, Jamie Benn, Ryan O'Reilly, and Jordy Benn.
Yeah, I mean...
The last one standing.
Find it interesting that all of those names on that list are all gamers.
Totally.
I mean, you
long careers.
You don't have one guy on that list that's not a gamer,
mm-hmm.
right? This whole visor thing, what are they trying to do? I mean, you're going to be able to have an artificial eye made in another 4 to 6 years. What are they trying to save? Are they trying to build the game? We want to see these guys' faces.
Yep.
All right? We want as little over their face as possible. What are they trying to do? It's like the we talked about it on Quick Shift, this yeah. whole Quebec Major Junior, stop fighting. Just stop it. Let these guys play the game without a visor. It has nothing to do with concussions, all right? I don't even know how we allowed that rule to come in as a union. I don't even remember it. I think because we did, you know what it was? It wasn't going to affect us because it was a grandfather rule. Like mm-hmm. it was going to start hurting the younger guys. And we were like, oh, fuck those guys. Yeah, they're going to look stupid wearing mm-hmm. visors. Nobody wants to wear it.
Right.
You want to be gamers? You want to be old school? Those are the guys. What else?
I think that, we got a couple stories here, but Martin St. Louis
oh, yeah,
benches Jonathan Drouin for being 2 minutes late to a team meeting.
You know, so Coach Will, we call him Coach Will because he's a blue belt, so he's not a black belt. He's not a professor, right? The kids' classes for jiu-jitsu. It's the parents are so refreshed to see Coach Will put the hammer down. Like when the kids aren't in line in the right way or they're not talking, they have a lot of leeway on the mat. It's like this martial arts thing. Like you're here. You play by my rules, right? I just find it's just fascinating.
Martin like, St. Louis' first season as a coach, and he looks like he's been doing it for 20, 30 years.
2 minutes late to a meeting, I'm going to dress you, you're going to sit on the bench, and you're not going to get a shift.
That's worse than getting scratched.
Absolutely. It's way more humiliating.
Yeah.
It's because you get to sit there in your shame with all your teammates, but you also hurt the team because that means the team dressed up one less player. The coach knew he wasn't going to get on the ice. It's just it's a great move. Oh, how about Danny Briere's kid?
Oh, that's a mess.
I mean, I know kids are drunk.
We're talking about the wheelchair.
Yeah. Daniel Briere, another sort of he runs parallel with St. Louis as far as careers go. I don't know. Did Briere win a Stanley Cup in Philly? He might have. Anyways, he was a great player. But his son, he's drunk, shit-faced at college. He plays hockey. Security camera footage picks up him pushing a wheelchair down the stairs of a bar. Problem was, the girl whose wheelchair it was, they had moved her to a table to sit down. She needed the wheelchair.
And she handled it like an absolute badass. I mean, they created a GoFundMe and raised a bunch of money. She's like, I'm going to, you know, take this attention and direct it towards somebody else's
Great.
GoFundMe who needed some help with the wheelchair. And,
Great.
You know, I even though the Breer kid pushed the chair, all of those teammates in that situation are assholes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know what? I'm not going to, this is what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to blame Daniel Breer for not being a great dad, because I'm sure he was a great dad. I'm going to blame the fucking coach.
Yeah.
Whoever coaches those kids' team.
Yeah.
Because they should have been more afraid of what was going to happen from their coach than their parents when they pull that stunt like this. So seeing a guy like St. Louis lay the hammer down, I fucking love it. What else?
So the New York Rangers are warming up.
Yeah, they're getting hot.
Yeah, they got the lines straightened out where we're looking at Mika, Vladdy, and Panarin on the top line, Trocheck, Kane, and Kreider on the second line.
Don't say people's fucking nicknames, Michael. People are listening. They don't know their fucking nicknames. Can Mika, you start that over sure. with? How dare you? Please.
Mika Zibanejad, Artemi Panarin, and Vladimir Tarasenko on the top line.
Great. Big three European gunner line. Two Russians and a Swede. All right.
Vincent Trocheck, Patrick Kane, and Chris Kreider on the second line.
Seems to be a great line. And I told you, what did I tell you? I said, if this Kane thing works, he's going to have to become a role player and fit in and find his little niche. I also said, when Michael came in today, I said, how many minutes did Kane play last game? I had no idea. I said, what, 15? He was right under 15.
Yeah, it was 14 and a half.
Third line,
Filip Hedl, Kaapo Kakko, and Alexi Lafreniere.
The kid line. Great Killing third it. Line. I'll take that. All right. I would rather that as a fourth line, but, and it, you know, listen, that's a weak length in the playoffs. That's a fourth line to me. Who's their fourth line?
And I feel like the third and fourth line are sort of...
Well, don't do this, okay, Michael. Okay. You try and fucking... You're like an apologist well, for fourth, Gerard Gallant and Chris Drury right now. Who's the fourth line?
Barkley Goudreau, Tyler Mott, and Jimmy Vesey, who are playing unbelievable.
Well, then the fourth line could take the third line's job.
Right.
That doesn't mean that the third line is a third line. The third line's a fourth line. That kid line should be the fourth line. Now, those guys are playing well, so you could give them the third line spot, but it's still not a grind line as your fourth line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's holes. They've got a little bit of depth holes in those three kits.
Yep.
And who's on the back end?
So the back end, Keandre Miller with Trouba is the first pairing.
Yep.
Mikkola and Adam Fox, second pairing. Harper and Schneider on the third pairing.
Okay. So their third pairing's got holes.
And you look at the power play. I mean, Gallant has been shuffling the lines all season long, but the first power play unit to have Trocheck, Panarin, Lafreniere, Fox, and Kane, I think plays to the point what you were saying,
that's
which
the
is
the first power play unit.
It's the first power play unit.
So you're telling me Mika and Kreider are not on the first unit?
That's right.
I don't think you're correct in that.
I'm pretty sure.
Are you positive?
Well, I'm looking at it right now, what Daily Faceoff has, but the games that I've watched recently, that Lafreniere is on that first power play unit.
That seems very unusual to me.
I think it might play to what you were saying about having right hand shots, like just the way that they're cycling and they need like.
I haven't watched them enough to notice it like that. Okay, interesting.
15 unanswered goals for the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
So they're finding their stride right now.
All right, what else?
Brendan Hagel had a pretty good...
Yeah, he had a hat trick, my guy Hags, that boy.
He's been putting up a lot of points. And,
Cooch got 100 points, hit the 100-point marker.
Yep. Kale McCarr's got banged up.
No, we're not talking about that. You had something else that was interesting.
The Big City Greens Classic was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it.
And it's Disney Plus right now, streaming too, so you can go back and watch
the full game.
Kevin Weeks did a great job. The whole thing was really cool.
Right, great.
It was cool.
I don't want to bag on them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bag on them all the time. Mm-hmm. I want them to be like, that's great. I love that.
It was awesome.
And just keep it non-political. Mm-hmm. Big City Greens, we're going to do this crossover. Probably the first really to have done it this well.
Yeah, I mean.
So congrats to the NHL.
Totally.
And to Disney.
Absolutely.
It's what we want from Disney.
Absolutely. It's what they can bring to the table.
Right. Bring your expertise in and
grow the game from young kids.
ESPN. It's a perfect genius crossover. I love it. Did you have one?
Well, I was going to bring up that I'm very impressed and enjoy watching PK Subban on the panel.
He's fantastic.
Style.
Fantastic.
Vibe. Everything.
He needs...
He could be the Charles Barkley or the Shaquille O'Neal character on TNT.
Absolutely. Well, or ESPN. You're right. But you need to build a team around him.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, Mess and Chelly. Mm-hmm. Chelly would be great if I was Mess. Because I know how to hit Chelly's buttons. And right. I can get him into a moment of relaxation where he'll pop off. You know, because
yeah.
I know Chelly. I know the I've been everywhere, mm-hmm. every crevice, every fucking moon setting, sun setting. I've been there. I know how to hit it. So PK. So now you got a little bit of juice going. But yes, PK is essentially carrying the show on his own. It's a little kitschy for me. And if I was there, I would roll my eyes sometimes, which makes even great television,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he can't feel like God up there. Totally. You got to be able to put him back on his heels a little bit.
Totally.
He's also getting a little bit too heavy. And his clothes are starting to resemble it. Like he's building the clothes around the body now. Mm-hmm. PK is going to get big. Mm-hmm. Like I think Daniel Cormier big. Like I could see a real balloon happening there. Mm-hmm. Which
maybe he should get in jiu-jitsu.
He 100% should. Everyone should. Everyone should. You know, it just takes you going and walking in and doing it. And then all of a sudden, Michael, you would find an hour a day to do it.
I know. And, you know, in the Valley, there are...
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable.
Dude, there's a lot of Brazilians in the Valley. They got schools and there's some killers down there.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Have you checked out 10th Planet yet?
No, but there was a... Because I did... This was Naga, big no-gi competition. A lot of 10th Planet rash guards. Lot of 10th Planet rash guards.
Cool.
Yeah. The two kids that train with me, they also both won gold. White belts. These two are killers. Like, I don't know how I found... I just got lucky with the energy, and I got a bunch of killers. We're all killers in our journey right now. Killer means putting the dog in the fight. All right? It's okay to lose to opponents.